Let us prepare our hearts for worship. The Lord is in His holy temple. Listen to the call to worship taken from Psalm 105, verses 3 to 4. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the hearts of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Let us arise for the opening hymn is number 83. This is the day the Lord hath made. Please arise. 83. Father in heaven, we thank thee that we have thy people come to acknowledge that this is the day that thou hast made and the hours that thou hast called thine own. The heaven rejoice and the earth be glad. Let praise surround thy throne. O Lord, indeed today is the day Christ rose and left the dead. It is a day Satan's empire fell. It is today the saints his triumph tell. O Lord, indeed, we are privileged to be assembled together before Thee at Thy throne of grace to recount, to celebrate the victory that Christ has won over the dark forces of evil that seek to overturn this world. O Lord, we thank Thee that the transaction is completed. The defeat has been sealed for Satan's empire, and we come before Thee boldly to rejoice. Strengthen Thy people, Lord, and bless this worship, that every item may bring honor and glory to Thy holy name. This I pray with thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus Christ, who while on earth taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The responsive reading of God's word is taken from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 21. Exodus chapter 20, let us turn to the word of God and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Verse 21 in unison. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Amen. Thank God for the reading of his precious word. In response, let us turn to the hymn 259, Lamb of Our Feet, 259. Supper will now be served. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Listen to the word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The Lord's table is open to all born again, baptized believers in the Church of Jesus Christ. If you are not a believer and you have not been baptized, please refrain from partaking the bread and the cup. Let us spend a moment of silent prayer before we would partake of the elements. Let us turn to the hymn 173. We shall sing the first three stanzas while the bread and the cup is being distributed. There is a fountain, 173. the cup, please raise your hand so that we may serve it to you. Our Lord Jesus says, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us first partake of the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let us partake also of the cup. Let us arise to sing stanza 4 and 5 of the hymn 173, "There is a Fountain." Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gift of the bread and the cup, the broken body of Christ and His blood shed for the remission of our sins. O Lord, we praise Thee that there is forgiveness of sins when we confess before Thee at Thy throne of grace. May Thou be gracious to renew, strengthen Thy people, and send us forth to be Thy messengers, to be Thy witnesses of the truth, of the everlasting kingdom of God, of eternal life, and a place where of abode, eternal abode, where there is no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death. Strengthen thy people as we look forward to the day of consummation, in which we have received the earnest, the down payment by the Spirit of God that affirms in our heart of that day. So strengthen thy people as we await the soon coming and return of our Lord Jesus Christ to consummate and rule upon the earth for 1,000 years. Strengthen thy people. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The offertory hymn is 558. 558. 558. As we, as our offering is being received. For the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Father in heaven, we praise and thank thee for these gifts that thy people have brought before thee in holy worship. May thou be gracious to receive them and bless it for the furtherance of thy everlasting kingdom, for the preaching of the gospel, and in the defense of the faith in these last days leading to Christ's coming again. Strengthen thy church and send us forth to do thy bidding. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The hymn before our message, Laws That Govern a Nation, and the pastoral prayer is 375. Lord, speak in the stillness. 375. Lord, speak in the stillness. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thy church may be sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ and through thy holy word. Lord, as we be still before thee, may thou by thy Spirit come and meet with us. Illumine us, bless us with thy presence, so that we may comprehend and understand the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of this glorious salvation that thou hast wrought in our hearts through Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we praise thee for the week that has just passed. We thank thee for the safety that thou hast granted to thy people. And we pray that thou would bless this worship as thy people have gathered, and the elements that has been served, the hymns that has been sung, may all redound to thy glorious name. Father, we pray for those who are traveling, for Zoe, for Joyen and Grace in the U.S. May thou be gracious to strengthen them and bring them back safely. And for Ing Sun, who is traveling in New Delhi and Mumbai, Lord, may thou grant him a safe work trip. We commit to thee, Mr. Lee Kim Song, and the helper and dear wives, Sister Pauline, that thou be gracious to strengthen each one of them as we wait upon thee. May thou be gracious to grant them good health and strength. Father, we pray for Murray, that thou would grant to her good management for a high blood pressure condition as she goes about the home kidney dialysis treatment. Father, we also thank thee for healing that thou hast granted to Terence, Christine's brother, from the cough. Father, we dare not take for granted the health and the strength that thou hast given to us. May thou strengthen thy people. And at this time, we would like to pray for those who are in NS, that thou would protect, and may thy grace be upon them, for Daniel, for Lucas, for Enle, for Qinghen, for Ethan, in the rigors of their training. Lord, may thou be gracious to strengthen them. We also pray for Chui Po, Christine's brother, that thou be gracious to protect him from the idolatry and from friends who would bring him. Lord, may thou shield him. Father, we pray also for Rosalind, that thou grant to her good sleep, rest, and comfort from thy holy word. We pray for the people of Ukraine and Russia in their military conflict. We pray that thou be gracious to deliver them as we wait upon thee. May thou be gracious to strengthen, comfort, keep in the afflictions. Lord, thou knowest. Father, we pray for the authorities in Singapore to govern with just and equitable measures, that the gospel work may continue. We pray for thy mercy to protect Singapore from terrorism, from haze, from pestilences. Father, we commit to thee also the candidates who are preparing for reaffirmation of faith, baptism, and transfer of membership. May thou be gracious to guide and help. We also commit to thee the planning for the gospel rally on the 4th of September. Lord, may thou guide us and bless this occasion, that the gospel seed may be sown, and may thou bring those whom thou hast ordained to eternal life to come and hear the sound of the gospel and be saved. Strengthen thy people as we wait upon thee. Father, may thou bless now the preaching of thy holy word. May thou strengthen us to help us to understand thy holy will as we wait upon thee, upon thy word. Strengthen thy people. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Laws that govern a nation is the title of our message, taken from Exodus chapter 20 and verses 1 to 21. We have three thoughts today. A right relationship with God, verse 1 to 11. A right relationship with fellow men, verse 12 to 17. And a right attitude, God's fear, verse 18 to 21. The nation of Israel is specially created by God to reflect his ways to the nations of the world. It was God's way to reach out to the nations of the world, scattered throughout the earth, after he confounded the language of men at the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. Will you turn there to Genesis chapter 11? Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1. It says here, "And the whole earth was one language and of one speech." These were years after the judgment of the global flood. And verse 4 says, "And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad and upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower where the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people are one, they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will restrain from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from tents upon the face of all the earth. And they left all off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Fallen men, left on their own, left to their depraved mind to provide their own guidance, is a recipe for disaster. Just this week, we saw in the news how two men began a sleazy activity when they took a cab ride. Men who did abominable things to the young driver. Dear friends, this such abomination has come to our land. Whether they have taken alcohol, whether they may have taken some drugs, there is a perversion that comes when men turn away from the living God. And a change in the nature, they become aggressive, uncontrollable, uncontrolled. A very frightening scene is unfolding before us. Well, this was the situation in Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember the two angels that went in to Sodom and Gomorrah, and how the whole city of men came after them. God created the nation of Israel so that he will show by real life example how men made in the image of and the likeness of God ought to live, that will bring honor and glory to their Maker. Out of the family of Jacob came the nation of Israel. Egypt was the incubating ground to bring forth the nation. In Genesis chapter 46 and verses 1 to 4, it was recorded what God will do when he commanded Jacob to bring his family to Egypt as a result of the famine that came upon the land of Canaan. And Israel took his journey, verse 1 of Genesis 46, with all that he had, and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. For I will there make of thee a great nation. It was God who commanded Jacob to go to Egypt. For there in the land of Goshen, Israel will grow to become a multitude of people. I will go down with thee, the Lord said, into Egypt. And I will surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. When Israel left Egypt, they were a multitude. How will Israel be made a great nation? It is by the good laws that God will give them that will bring stability and prosperity to their nation. This order that we have today, the good laws that undergirds the constitution of nations, well, they are the result of the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. The result of the Protestant Reformation was the rise of nation states again from feudalism. And it was from that time that came the new order of life under God's law. We say that our law in Singapore comes from the Indian law, and the Indian law comes from the British law, and the British law from the Roman law, and the Roman law from God's law. It is God's law that undergird the nations over the last 300, 400 years. When God's law is exalted, a nation prospers. When God's law is annihilated, if the foundations are destroyed, there also will come great chaos. The admission of God as the giver of the laws that govern all mankind is acknowledged by the Roman politician, orator, Cicero, who wrote the Republica. He said this: there is indeed a true law, right reason, conformable to nature, diffused among all, unchangeable, eternal, which is by commanding urges to duty, by prohibiting, deters from fraud, not in vain commanding or prohibiting the good, though by neither moving the wicked. This law cannot be abrogated, cannot be nullified, nor may anything be withdrawn from it. It is in the power of no synod or people to set us free from it, nor is there to be sought any extraneous teacher or interpreter of it. It shall not be one law at Rome, another at Athens, one now, another at some future time, but one law, alike eternal and unchangeable, shall bind all nations through all time, and one shall be the common teacher, as it were, and governor of all, God, who is himself the author, the administrator, and the enactor of the law. Cicero in the Republica. The Lord wants us to know, and that there is a law that God gives, a universal law that governs all mankind. And it's given at that time, 1445 BC, at Mount Sinai, amidst thundering and lightning. God gave his laws. The laws of God are summarized in the Ten Commandments, and it governs the relationship between men and God, and between men and men. When these laws are adhered to, there will be order in that nation, and it prospers. When a people obey God's law, they are right with God. This is a righteous nation. And God blesses a righteous nation. Indeed, righteousness exalteth a nation. And sin is a reproach to any people. If we will not embrace the truth, embrace the law of God, well, then we are taking away the very foundations that sent the brimstone and fire that came and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a frightening scene. But God instructed Abraham that the destruction will come. And there was not 10 righteous, even 10 righteous in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God had to judge the city. Will it come to us? Well, let us be very sober, that the fear of God may be in our hearts, that we may realize who we are dealing with, the God that created heaven and earth. No mean business to try to trample and to try to meddle with God and His laws. There is a universal law that governs man in his relationship to the universe and with other men that is perfect, that holds true all the time. And the articulation of it was done by God Himself in Exodus 20. Nations of the world since time immemorial, even before 1445 BC, when God gave the laws, the laws of God continue to be the backbone in which God meets out judgment upon this world that we live in. So it is to our benefit, it is our wisdom that we would know God's law so that we would not be at the receiving end of God's wrath. For He is indeed a consuming fire. And nations that has God's law, that has the backbone of their laws based on God's law, find peace and order in their society. Nevertheless, the laws of God cannot save a nation from their sins. But the laws of God exposes their sinfulness. The word sin means missing the mark of God's standard of law. God's standard. And God gives us that standard so that we may know how we may judge ourselves. Ultimately, God sent His Son Jesus Christ from the loins of the nation of Israel to bear the sins of the world, so that all who come to Jesus, all who comes to Jesus Christ, will find forgiveness of sins and be granted eternal life in heaven. This is the purpose of God creating the nation of Israel, giving them the good laws, a right relationship with God. That's the first thought that is given to us here in Exodus chapter 20. It says in verse 1, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Firstly, man is commanded to worship no other gods except the Lord, their God. And secondly, man is commanded to refrain from making images for worship. And thirdly, man is commanded to honor the Lord's name. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Fourthly, man is commanded to set aside a day for the worship of God. This is the basic relationship that man is to establish with his Maker. How do we establish that relationship with God? It is through worship. And the Lord has commanded his people in the fourth commandment that we are together to worship him. A right relationship with God. God's commandment is this, that we would be assembled to worship God. And the Lord wants us to know that no law may be effected so that the church may not be assembled to worship the living and true God. Because it is in the mind of God that the people of God must be assembled to worship him. And therefore, it is our prayer that the people of God may realize the momentous times that we are in, the momentous times, pressures that seek to cause the church not to assemble for worship. And we have experienced this in the past 2 years. And do you know why a virus like that would come? Well, it is to close the Church of Jesus Christ. When the Church of Jesus Christ is closed, there is no more light in this world. Because the people of God gather, each born again believer has the Spirit of God in us. And the Spirit of God restrain darkness, retard darkness. And the people of God must realize and know that the battle that is before us, yes, it is frightening. But here, the people of God must realize that indeed, there's a right way by which man is to worship the living and true God. Israel, by keeping these laws, will point the nations of the world to worship the Lord God of Israel. A right relationship with God will bring God's blessing to that nation. The nation is to worship the one living and true God, the Lord God of Israel. And verse 5 says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God. We often think that jealousy is a bad trait, something that is not a fruit of the Spirit. When the Old Testament speaks of a jealous God, it is God's way of expressing his love for his children. This is a declaration of God's unfailing love for Israel. If God loved us so wholeheartedly, so unreservedly, God will not tolerate anything that will damage or distort that love relationship based on the unilateral covenant relationship that He has made with Abraham and with us. And so anyone who undermines and distorts the relationship will face the wrath of God. That's why Moses wrote, "Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate God." God is jealous of sharing His glory with another. And it is well said by the man Jill, "Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children," meaning chiefly, if not solely, the iniquity of idolatry, which is an insult on His honor. Idolatry is not just the making of edifices to worship, but our worship of ourselves and those things that we place above God. And in Singapore, what do we place above God? Well, we place our education above God. When it is time for exams, mothers and fathers would say, "Don't need to go to church. No need to worship God. God is not first, but your education is first." Well, that's an idol. And I pray that the Lord would help us to take away these idols, because these idols will indeed cause a family to badly stumble. And if we think that we can shortcut the laws of God, then I say to you that you will pay a heavy price and a regret later on. So the Word of God is given to us so that we may not regret. We may have His fear to follow Him. And so the Lord tells us and teaches us. And He tells us concerning the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Well, because parents do not love God, how can they teach their children to love God? Their children will not obey and follow them, isn't it? And so here we realize and see that there is a perpetuation of evil that goes on. And it is said that parents live to see this so that their eyes beheld the punishment inflicted upon their posterity for their sins, which must be distressing to them. Must be distressing, isn't it? Because we are culpable if we will not repent. And so the Lord gives the first four commandments so that we would have a right relationship with Him. And secondly, from verse 12, a right relationship with men. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." The first relationship that establishes a man in his relationship is his relationship with his parents. He is to give honor to them, our own parents, the giver of life to us. The beginning of human relationship begins with that biblical understanding of human authority that is given so that there will be orderliness in the created world. Keeping the fifth commandment is foundation to keeping the rest of the commandments. So, if we truly honor our parents, then we would not disgrace them by becoming a murderer, by being unfaithful to our marriage vows, by stealing, by greed, by discontent, by covetousness. The keeping of the fifth commandment works back towards the first four. If we are rebellious and disrespectful towards our parents who gave us life and sustenance, we will also be rebellious and disrespectful towards the Lord God. And disrespect towards parents and God will carry over, as it were, into disrespect for all authority. And this will result in a breakdown of law and order in the society. When God gave His laws, they are for the well-being of the people. Wherever you may be, it is the same law that governs all nations. So, the evangelist D.L. Moody said, we can see if their home life is all right. They are almost sure to fulfill the law, both in regard to God and men. Parents stand in the place of God to their children in a great many ways until the children arrive at years of discretion. If the children are true to their parents, it will be easier for them to be true to God. He used the human relationship as a symbol of our relationship to Him, both by creation and by grace. God is our Father in heaven. We are His offspring. As we have mentioned in the weekly some weeks back, this is how God created us in families, so that we may understand that relationship with God. Spiritual, we cannot see, but physical, our father, our mothers, we can see. So honor thy father and thy mother. It means not mere obedience. A child may obey through fear. Well, it means here love, affection, gratitude, and respect. And so here, when we speak of this, well, the Lord wants us to understand that this is a crying need in our society today. The lawlessness of the present time is a natural consequence of a growing absence of the feeling of respect for those in authority. If that doesn't happen in the home, then how can it affect, or how can it be outside? Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. The sixth commandment is the shortest statement in the table of the Ten Commandments, written exactly in both texts. Just two words, the negative particle, a negation of the statement of fact. So here, from here, you would see a negative particle used, right? Thou shalt not. And the sum of the commandment would help us to see, so that we would not unjustly do violence or violate anyone. What is the reason for the chaos that is in the world today? It's because we have not take to heart God's commandment, thou shalt not kill. If we have taken to heart the laws of God, then there will be peace, isn't it? There will be harmony, isn't it, among nations, among people. And here it is explained that unjust violence is forbidden by the law, and capital punishment, legitimate warfare, self-defense, and similar acts are not forbidden. Self-defense is not forbidden. To be armed to protect yourself, not for violence, is not forbidden. Calvin explains this. And our Lord Jesus summarized the law for us when he said in Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Turn with there. to Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So what is the great law, the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to us, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That is summed up for us in the first four commandments. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, the fifth commandment can be attached to the first tablet, as it were, because our parents represent, is a representative of God to us, as it were. They are the one who give us life. The Lord wants us to understand and know our responsibility. And so here it is said that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the law of God is that we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Not more than we love ourselves. The Lord doesn't command us that, but as you would love yourself. So we naturally love ourselves, isn't it? So how we love ourselves, love our neighbor, that is good enough. That is what Jesus is saying to us. So the law would ask two things of a man: obedience and enforcement. To obey a law means, in effect, to enforce it in one's own life and in one's own community. God's law is not a private matter. It is not for us to obey personally simply because we like it, meanwhile leaving the other man to follow whatever law they choose. The law is valid for us because it is valid for all. To obey it means to accept a universal order as a binding that is binding on us and upon all men. So obedience therefore requires that we seek a total enforcement of the law. As we read this commandment, we are to understand that law and order are the responsibility of all good men without exception, isn't it? You don't want anyone to be going around killing anyone. No. And therefore, the Lord teaches us like that. And the seventh commandment that is given there in verse 14, Thou shalt not commit adultery. The purpose of the seventh commandment is to protect marriage. This commandment is built upon the premise of biblical marriage. It's a law governing its violation, so that extramarital relationships are condemned. Deuteronomy 22:22 says, If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. So this was the magnitude in which God see the gravity in the mind and heart of God concerning such violation. And in the beginning, God made marriage as a bond of the most intimate fellowship of love between one man and one woman. And they are to become one flesh. And so this was God's declaration, and Paul reiterated it in Ephesians 5:31. For he says, For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So marriage persons will share one life, an intimacy not just in physical union, but oneness of being. Marriage is a relationship for life, and this is built into the institution. One man and one woman become one flesh. Since marriage is a union that is effected by God, men neither may or can put asunder. Only God can divide what he has joined. God does this in death. The right relationship with God, the right relationship with men, and from verse 18 to 21, a right attitude. Verse 18 says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpets and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not. For God is come to prove you, that his fear may be before your eyes," verse 20, "that ye sin not." God's fear may be in the hearts of God's people, that they may not sin. The commandments exposes the wickedness of our hearts. Man is able to weigh his actions in the light of God's law, and thus, therefore, it shows his sin. He's exposed. Therefore, he ought to feel ashamed, isn't it? God shows us where we have gone wrong. And we realize that we have no redress, isn't it? Because of our fallen nature. Therefore, when we look before God in his law, we are an offender. An offender means that we are guilty before God. And so, what does it mean when we are guilty before God? Well, it means that we are under sin. So Paul says in Romans chapter 3, would you turn there to Romans chapter 3 as we conclude? Romans chapter 3, verse 7. "For if the truth of God has more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, or as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose condemnation is just. What then," Paul says, "are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. So that none may be able to say, no, I'm all right. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of abs is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." This is our plight. But verse 21 says, "But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God without the law, without having to obey the law, because we all fail, we cannot obey the law. And therefore, Paul tells us, and he gives us the reason why we need Jesus Christ, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, in the cancelling of our sin, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God saved us. He make a way to save us by putting our sins upon his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To declare, I say, that at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Dear friends, how can we be saved? We realize that we cannot be saved by our own effort, by our own strength. But faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. God has given his law to us universally. And when Peter was asked to visit the house of Cornelius in the book of Acts, he was a Gentile. And God said to him, go and baptize Cornelius. He was a Gentile. We are Gentiles because the grace of God has come upon the Gentiles. God will not only save the Jews, but also all of us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here is given to us the law of God that shows our sinfulness, and it leads us to Jesus Christ, who justifies us by his sacrifice for sins on the cross on our behalf. We may say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A right relationship with God, verse 1 to 11. A right relationship with fellow men, verse 12 to 17. A right attitude, God's fear. May God's fear be in our hearts, that we may receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And may his fear be in our hearts, so that we may love to do his commandments, love to obey his commandments. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen thy people. Grant us understanding of the truth, so that we may find salvation and we may find everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This I pray with thanksgiving through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we will rise for the closing hymn. It is 559, near the cross, 559. grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. Do read the pastoral in page 1 and page 4. Wednesday, Bible study at 11 a.m. and prayer meeting will be at 8 p.m. The Gospel Rally 2021 is scheduled on the 4th of September at 3 p.m. here at the Worship Center. Pray the Lord help us to plan and invite relatives and friends to this service. That's all the announcements that we have. The Lord bless you and keep you.